Every day I get like a notification from Tinder, and it's like, and it's the same fucking thing, and it says, stop doing those solo movie marathons and get on Tinder. And I'm like, first of all, I don't do that anymore. Okay, it's not my life. I'm a new man. I've changed. That's not me anymore. But also, it's very very specific, and I think it knows who I am for some reason.
Yeah, it's odd voiced, isn't it?
But I feel like everyone's getting them though. With the Tinder app. They're like, well, I don't
know. Oh, what, you're hoping they get different ones though? Like, oddly specific to them.
No, I hope they're getting the same ones.
Oh, the exact same one. Yeah.
I hope they're getting the exact same ones.
So that I'm not like,
why did you single me out? Because it kind of relates to me a bit. Anyway, long story short, I'm not watching movies anymore.
Ever.
Is it? This is the last one.
This podcast is done.
Welcome to the Sunday Movie Marathon episode 136. I'm Max.
I'm Chris.
I'm Darcy.
Why'd you say it like that? What the fuck did you hear that?
Of the question.
You said it like you were on the radio.
Because we are.
No, we're not. We're not. Bless
I did,
you.
I
that
did
would,
think
that
I
would
said
never
it.
Fly on the radio.
Yeah. That is true, actually. They would have...
would have cut that out or like covered it with like a funny sort of... And we don't have any of those. Or we could,
I mean,
but you don't want to put them
close
in.
Enough, yeah. To be honest.
I mean, sort of
no,
crusty
the is,
laugh.
The thing is, we could, but Chris doesn't edit these. He just kind of takes out bits.
Top and tail, chop off, noise gate, done.
Yeah, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
You say that.
More work
not
than goes
all
into
you
a
no,
lot of
no, like,
it's not
we,
all we need.
We could get cancelled at any minute, and you're not filtering out those horrible, horrible, horrible things that we say.
We're not getting cancelled.
I know.
We don't say horrible, horrible things.
And if we did, then actually, I would cut it out. I've cut things out before.
Yeah, cut out some pretty horrific stuff before. Some pretty terrifying
things.
Yeah,
I don't think you do that nowadays, though.
We learned, well, after, you know, 3 years in the game, we sort of know better than to run our mouths.
Mm.
It's not like we've ever said anything horrible. I think there's just been once or twice where we've said something and been like, oh, actually, maybe can cut that out.
Yeah. Never,
what if I
no,
do that right
anymore.
Now? What if I say...
Do it. Do it. It won't make the edit.
Then I won't cut it out.
No, that's...
Just
no,
to prove a point.
That's proving my point that you won't edit it.
What yeah, were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was going to say, edit this out.
Oh, I thought you like...
No, oh, what?
You I had say- some sort of slur... Locked and loaded.
Yeah, I don't really.
Sort of
I don't really have anything.
Horrendous remark.
To say.
Yeah, no.
Mm. No.
Not got any beef against any certain demographics or individuals.
No.
No, okay, fair enough.
Not as far as I'm aware.
Nah, that's for our other podcast.
That's for our slur podcast, where we just sort of go in.
The Slurcast.
Slurcast.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about. Are you guys starting a new pod?
You don't know about
away
it.
Away from him.
It's because it's like deep, dark net. It's like the dark net podcasting realm. That's why you don't know about the Slurcast.
Okay. In a similar vein to like a Red Room or something. Okay.
Yeah, except you don't. It's not actually called the Slurcast because then we'd have fucking doxed ourselves. It's called something like way worse and like horrible and like really quite mean spirited. Just like punching down on very specific individuals who really can't fight back and can't stand up for themselves. Yeah, me and Chris do that on a sort of bi-weekly, bi-monthly basis.
Can't believe I wasn't aware of this.
How are we today?
Yeah. Same as always.
I just love that whenever this question gets asked, I immediately look at Chris because I just wait for him to go,
you don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is we're recording this one before the one that came out before.
Yeah.
So as we're recording, we haven't even recorded 135.
Ah, we don't even know how we're feeling.
That's the one with all the slurs in it.
Ah, right, of course.
we get
sense.
To the end of this one, we reach our absolute breaking point. Just rattle off just horrible things. Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for asking. No, I got like a cold. I think Darcy gave me a cold and now I'm going through it, man.
Well, whoever I got it off of, I started feeling ill on Thursday. I don't know where it came from. And I called my mum. No, my mum called me today. She was like, you're ill again. And I was like, do I actually get ill like that often? I didn't realise that I did.
I don't think you do, but when you get ill... You have to complain about it to fucking everyone. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, the thing is, I didn't even tell her I was ill. I was just coughing. She was like, oh, you're ill again.
Yeah, I guess.
And I was like, no, my lung capacity is balked. Like, I have like the lung capacity of like a 90-year-old man now.
It was only like a couple of months ago we had COVID, to be fair. So it's not been long since you.
Actually, no, it's only been like 2 months.
Did you do the steaming that I told you to do?
I did. I actually did do the steaming.
Yeah, she did it before we came over to do
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It did help. Although I was like, I felt like I was almost like, I think I took it too far with the. With the towel, and I actually thought I was like gonna like just die from the heat. Yeah, like I mean, I did, but I kind of had to take it back a little bit. Yeah,
and inhale.
Like, Jesus Christ!
And that'll hydrate you more than straight water.
I must say, I did feel
hydrated.
I just felt a bit more free,
free flowing.
Yeah, you know, like
yeah, I've been doing
loose.
That. Sort of, just sort of loose.
Just felt a bit loose.
I get a bowl out, boil the kettle, pour the boiling water into the bowl with a bunch of limescale. Just sort of breathe that in. I don't long term. Yeah. That might do me some damage actually.
That limescale.
Yeah.
The dreaded limescale.
But not the. But it, the steam will counteract that.
Yeah, I mean, if it was as hot as the steam I was steaming, for sure.
Yeah, you can't like dip your face in it because.
Oh my god!
No. Just a bit, like 5 minutes or so. How long were you in it? How long were you in the hole for?
I don't know how long I was in it for.
In the steamscape?
Probably less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, probably.
You sounded all right when I saw you.
Yeah, probably thanks for the good old steam bath, but then I felt really...
Yeah.
What day is it now? Monday?
Yeah, I think
so. I was
so.
Trying to think of how I felt on Sunday. I don't think I was much better on Sunday, to be honest.
No, you seemed all right yesterday.
Okay, well maybe I wasn't.
Transferred it all over to me.
I was giving it away. And then,
because I felt dreadful yesterday.
Yeah, Robin made the mistake of hugging me on the way out. She went, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, what she said something like, oh, now you've made me ill now, haven't you? And I was like, ha ha. I just walked off like, what the fuck?
Oh, really?
I don't even go in for the hug, by the way. I don't initiate them very often. No. But
well,
I should have been
funny.
More.
You do with me.
I should have been more wise, though, really. To be honest.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I saw her yesterday. She came around mine again and just sort of rubbed all of her snot onto me. And said,
that'll be it, mate. Look, you see, only takes one
figuratively,
person.
Yes. It felt like she was doing that. She was quite late into the evening. I felt intruded upon.
Oh, God. Yeah. How late are we talking? Like, I need to get ready for work. It's Monday.
I don't know. I was just like feeling ill and like, doing this Cowboy Bebop marathon, and you know, I just didn't want to see anyone. Mm. But yeah, all's fair in love and war, as they say.
And
today we're going to talk about some movies.
Yeah, let's do it.
The wheel picked, just to do it, just to do it, and that was True Stories, In the Mood for Love, and Chicken Run. And Chris picked the first one. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that was all about?
So I picked True Stories.
I know.
Yeah. I did that. 1986 movie directed by the man, the myth, the legend, David Byrne.
Whoa!
Talking Heads.
Hmm.
The movie's all about this small Texas town. It's kind of all about these different characters that inhabit it. It's quite a loose narrative, I think. Kind of just
narrative
back and forth between these characters, kind of shows what's going on with them, and every once in a while it cuts to David Byrne, who's kind of observing on them and observing their way of life.
He is literally like an alien in human skin. Like the stuff that he comes out with when he starts talking, like I understand the man is spicy, but oh my god.
Well, pretty much all of like the music he writes is like him basically observing the world and observing human nature and how people act, kind of almost like an alien looking in who's like discovering all about the world.
He literally is.
So I feel like this kind of perfectly encapsulates his style of songwriting in this weird little movie.
Yeah. And he looks like an alien.
He does.
Like a cowboy alien. He's
a sort of cowboy, like thin sort of guy from space. Yeah.
Ah, the thin cowboy from space.
That's a good song name. I'm writing that down. Nobody steal it. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was quite good. But, you know, loose narrative and all that. Didn't really it's and didn't really care about the narrative so much. I didn't care about the story. Like these guys just sort of going around, like we got to
living their lives.
Like, what are they doing? Like, we got to put on the best dang talent show this town's ever seen.
Yeah, they're like celebrating 150 years of the town.
Specialness. I don't like the way he said specialness either. It was almost like he was trying to finish on the word special and then went ness. And I just thought it was really weird. Some of the stuff that was just being said in this movie, I just thought was really, really weird. And I don't know if that's on purpose or whether I was just finding
what he is.
Maybe I was just finding parts of it just like
it's a very
really
weird, quirky movie.
I mean, yeah, I remember when we first watched it, and I hadn't seen it since. But it was you know, in the lockdown when we stayed in that hotel because my mum wouldn't let you stay over.
It felt like that as an experience.
Actually, yeah, a little bit. It was like just weird.
Because Chris just kept singing fucking
things,
songs from True Stories. it reminded me of
Song Slap, though. If I'm going to be honest.
That's some good songs,
good ones.
Yeah.
It's not my favourite Talking Heads album, so probably one of their worst, in my opinion, but I think the movie picks the best songs from it.
We're comparing this to like some of the best music ever made, right? That's not completely fair, I suppose.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Movies ever made.
I actually don't remember any of the songs, like, at all.
I only really remember, like, three, but they're, the best three.
Either the kids singing their song with the goat.
Oh, yeah.
Forget now.
Yeah.
I forget what it was. Why do I keep thinking about Michael Jackson? I just keep thinking about them singing a Michael Jackson song, but it's not that. No.
Could you imagine? That would have spiced up a little
sick.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah. They're all going, I don't want to say is that they don't really care about it.
And then the goat just bleats. I did like when the goat bleated. That was...
Yeah. That was
like, yeah, that was like the
creme de la creme.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of Brazil. If Brazil was set in like 80s Texas, it's got that weird energy to it. But anything can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of does. It reminds me a little bit of Twin Peaks, actually.
Wait, wasn't there like a music score that was like really Twin Peaks-y and then Max went, Twin Peaks ruined the genre of music or something?
It did, it really did.
No, it's just like that small town Americana sort of very odd interaction between everyone.
Also felt very jazz clubby, didn't it? Like,
yeah, no, but it was the music though.
Yeah. Mm.
It was definitely Twin Peaks-y.
It felt it, and I barely even watched that show, and I feel it. It was weird. Yeah, it was just weird. Yeah, not necessarily in a bad way.
It's quite a good cast of characters, I think, as you meet them. Mm. I quite like John Goodman and fucking David Byrne and the woman who's so rich that she never gets out of bed.
Yeah.
These are like decent enough characters to carry her through. Good actors. That woman who didn't get out of bed, they were like, oh, there's a woman who has so much money.
What a G.
She spends all her time in bed. I mean, wouldn't you? And I was like, no.
I think all three of us said no. Because like, what's the point of having all that money if you're just...
I don't know if you spend too much time in bed, but when you get to a certain age, it hurts.
It hurts. And I guess you'll get to a certain point where, I don't know, like, as morbid as it sounds, you'll be lying down for like the rest of your life. So. Fuck it, like,
get
why?
Up and go, lady.
Yeah, like, I what I thought was quite funny though was even though she's laying in bed, she doesn't even like turn her own book pages or anything.
Yeah.
Like, she has all these machines.
Automated. Yeah, we're living in the future.
That is the life.
That's
though,
the
right?
future, except it looks like it's from the 80s.
Yeah. It actually does. It's almost like, you know, them films that are like, oh, in the year 2030, we'll be flying like spaceship cars or whatever. That's the vibe it gave me with that little fucking Japanese robot server thing.
Yeah.
You know,
that guy.
Thing.
Yeah. It's one of those in Rocky 4, I think it was.
Got one of those at mine.
Nice.
Do you know? If you do,
yeah,
I need
easy.
To use one.
It's commonplace, you know, the little robot server.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Lives next to Kermit.
No.
Who? Yeah.
It felt like a bit, maybe it felt a bit disconnected in terms of like how they structured it, but like, I don't, because it's got like quite a loose narrative and I don't care too much for the songs. I wonder what it is I actually liked about it, but I did like the movie. I just think it's too much and it's not enough at the same time. It's like so many ideas
it was a confusing
that it's not
vibe.
Enough to like form into one cohesive thing for me to be like, oh, this is the movie where that is this thing. But yeah, it's like, it's a movie with like a bunch of different strands and David Byrne drives in a like a sports car.
Yeah, I sort of remembered it being like a short, is it an anthology where they have like little movies put together? Yeah. That's actually what I remember it being.
I mean, it kind of is in a way.
It is a bit, yeah. But it's also got this like kind of a string of like commenting on Americana.
And, like, very
condition,
much.
The American condition.
Is that why he was like a cowboy man? This is me driving through the desert. Look at my amazing steering wheel. I like the fact that he took his steering wheel and he literally just like, he just had it in his hands.
Yeah, he just had it in his hands, yeah.
He wasn't even...
hovering. He's like, look at this as he's driving through the American suburbs, just like any fucking random ass American suburb. Look at this. Who can say it isn't beautiful?
It's like,
It looks like nothing.
There's plastic bags and trash everywhere.
At that point, it was just like a generic fucking suburb. I was like, it's not beautiful. It just looks like shit. looks like the houses from fucking Edward Scissorhands.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, but I swear that's just like, well, yeah, actually kind of goes back onto what you're saying. Like, just Americans being like, yeah. God, I love America. I felt like,
yeah, the comment on industry. And like construction and shit like that. They're like, have a thing about, see that field over there? That's a good field for building houses on, don't you think? And what good is a field but for building houses?
So true. But that's the thing, like in America, I swear they have like so much land. Like that's why their houses are fucking huge, right? Because apparently there's like almost so much land, but not enough people.
Yeah.
Which I think is mad because if you go anywhere in Britain, there is too many buildings, too many cars, and not enough space.
Yeah, I went back to my old homestead the other month, just like driving around, and there used to be like fields and shit there, or, like open space. Houses now.
Yeah, they're all houses. Exactly it, yeah.
Oh, great.
Any drip of space that Britain has is pretty much either a farm or made into housing, or a pub, let's be honest. Usually one of them.
Seems to be the way it's going, but they're obviously like commenting on things that, you know, you watch these older movies, you're like, the times, they don't change all that much, do they? No. We're all commenting on the same things we're commenting on nowadays. It's just a bit more prevalent now, I think. It gets worse, actually, as you watch it.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
Later on.
Yeah, it's a little bit before and of its time, I suppose. Kind of sad. I don't know. I find stuff like that kind of depressing because it's like, oh, you're thinking about it now. Try now.
Yeah, I do come like stuff like now. That though. I like the commentary.
Yeah, you know? I think it's done quite well.
Yeah. They're not working to earn a place in heaven, which was a big motivating factor once upon a time. They're inventing because they like it. It's like, okay. Like that was like also a comment on, I suppose, religion or like back in the day you did good things or like you pushed forward in terms of industry to prove your worth and earn a seat in heaven or whatever you sort of believed in. Now it's like, now we're inventing just to invent. Isn't it great? Yeah, now we're taking it too far.
About that really convoluted scene where like the lobster becomes like a city and...
Convoluted.
And he's just chatting about like fucking...
When he's describing about the Texaco Corporation.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That was weird.
Yeah, I don't know, it scrambled my brain because I was with it at first, but then by the time he started like fucking juggling carrots in the air, I was like, I don't know anymore.
I thought that was funny. Yeah. It was just chucking vegetables in the air.
Oh yeah, like don't get me wrong, it was told in a humorous way, but I was actually like following it up to a certain point and then I was like, what is happening?
I think that's kind of the point now.
Oh, maybe. Maybe I'm just permanently confused by the state of corporate business. Or the thought of corporate business.
Yeah.
Everyone's just a fucking cog in the machine, man.
We're all just cogs, man. We're all just part of that machine, cogs, yeah. Turning and turning.
I do think there is some quite good commentary on kind of like big business and corporations and stuff. And I like that it's kind of, it's not really told in like a really like aggressive sort of way. The whole film has this very light, fun tone. Never like feels, there's not really like a good or bad person in the movie. They're all kind of neutral.
It's very objective,
I think that kind of made it quite infectious, I think, made it quite wholesome and fun.
Maybe there's something about just David Byrne in general, because like I'm feeling like shit, man, and I'm like watching this fucking man make a movie where John Goodman's like lip sync into a fucking Talking Head song, and I'm like, this is fucking great.
He knows how to get you on your feet and partying
boogieing down. Boogie, man. I'm sitting there like
he knows how to make you boogie.
He does. I don't know if he knows.
Oh, he knows. Of course he does.
He's just so good. I don't know how he does it. He's like the master of it.
Yeah. He knows how to do these things.
He knows how to get you like seat movement. He knows how to uplift you. Yeah.
That's why Talking Heads were so great.
Mm.
That's what makes them like awesome.
Yeah, they are so much fun. They're quite unique in that sense as well. That it's very rare you get a group that actually just makes you boogie on there.
Yeah. Too many songs these days about fucking the state of the nation.
Yeah, the end of the world.
Fucked. Oh, I don't want to hear it.
I want to hear songs about cowboys and Radioheads, but not the band Radiohead.
Yeah, it's smart to do it like this.
Yeah, I like it. It makes you feel good doing it, depressing shit.
The corporations, man.
Yeah.
And capitalism, it sucks, doesn't it? We're all going to die.
And it's like,
man. I know. But if you frame it in like a sort of, you're poking fun at it, you're also having fun.
Yeah.
And just like having a bit of a laugh. You can't change anything.
Yeah.
No, you kind of have to laugh now, don't you?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever really critiquing anything either. It's kind of just, it's just
making
fun, but it's almost like it's laughing with them rather than at them. So I feel like the whole film, it never really has sort of like a cynical sort of view towards anything.
No, I just can't imagine like Finn Cowboy Man from Space, David Byrne, coming out here being sad and shit. I just can't. It's not something that just computes with me, to be honest.
Yeah, I think all the observations and commentary on things, it kind of is told with almost like this like sense of wonder and amazement at everything.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like, I don't know, like when a 4 or 5 year old like sees something for the first time and thinks it's like the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I'm like, wow, don't we all wish we had that sort of childlike sense of wonder still?
Industry. Capitalism. Wow.
Exactly.
And
like
doing what with my pension? Wonderful. Yeah.
I think a lot of the idea of the movie is it's based around like old like folk like stories, like the sort of stuff that you'd see in like a newspaper, like stories about these people, like the woman who's so rich she doesn't get out of bed, or the married couple who haven't spoken to each other in years, that sort of thing.
I think that adds to
like the pretty interesting, memorable characters.
Yeah, these are true stories.
Yeah.
I quite admit that'd be a pretty weird true story if like you were John Goodman looking for a wife, so you went to a shaman.
It happened though. It worked. It was
a true story that did happen to him. But then
it was true and it worked.
I actually thought, right, that was going to be the thing that like actually like gets her to stay out of bed, but they both get back into the bed.
I saw this man is singing on TV. I got to have him back into the bed. John Goodman.
Good old John Goodman.
He's really fun in the movie.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great. I love him singing his like little song to that woman.
Oh, about living in 1950. About living,
yeah. She's like, that was really sad. It's like so fucking funny. The colour palette in that scene was like super striking as well.
Yeah,
it reminded me of
bubblegummy in it.
Yeah, it was all bubblegummy, like blue and pink. It was all reminding me of But I'm a Cheerleader. If that was shot well or like looked very good.
I'm not saying this is what that should have been.
But like,
the whole movie's very, very bright and colourful.
Again, that's David Byrne, man. There's something about this man walking around in his fucking mustard cowboy shirt and his cowboy hat. I don't know. He's just a cool guy, man. He's a cool guy.
Don't know who did the cinematography on this, but it looks incredible.
David Byrne.
A well shot movie.
I'm joking. I don't know who did it.
Yeah, it is good. It does look very good. And we watched it on the old Criterion Blu-ray.
We did.
Of course, it looks very nice.
There was a nice theme of Criterion Blu-ray.
What?
No, I don't know what I'm talking about. No, it's just the your film was also Criterion.
Yeah. Which we totally paid for.
edit it out.
Yeah, cut that out. That's what I want. Ed Lachman.
Oh, cool.
I don't know who that is,
but okay.
Ed Lachman did the cinematography.
Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah. Thank you, Ed.
It was pretty, thank you.
It was pretty.
I don't know. Do we have anything else to say?
It's quite not a simple really. Movie. It's kind of self-contained, really, isn't it? Although it is loose.
Yeah, self-contained.
The
and
self-contained
loose.
Looseness.
How I live my life.
Yeah, like Tic Tacs in a bowl.
Very lonely. So we should rate this then.
I wasn't expecting that. Sorry, it just came out of nowhere.
What are we rating this one out of?
What are we rating it out of?
Steering wheels.
Steering wheels.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I love this movie. I've seen it. This is like, I think, my third time now watching it. It's just always such a blast. Like, I love Talking Heads so much, and this is basically everything you'd want from what is essentially a Talking Heads narrative movie. So yeah, I really enjoy it. Give it 8 steering wheels out of 10.
Yeah, a bit of a weird one. Talking Heads narrative movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
Would I want one of those? Well, I don't know. Well, I got it.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel. I wouldn't have asked for it, but no. I'm glad I have it.
And it's got its own criteria on it. It was that great, apparently.
Yeah. Comes with the soundtrack on CD as well.
And did it come? It comes with a little newspaper as well.
Yeah, it does. It comes with a newspaper that's got like essays about the movie inside.
It's cute.
That is sick. Cool. Yeah, I liked it. I did my washing while I was watching this. But
yes,
I was
did.
Watching it. I did. I know I was hanging on my washing, but I was watching it. Just needed to get that done. I'll give it.
As soon as you got up to do that, I was like, oh no, he hates it.
That's what that's actually what I thought.
It's just,
it
was in the washing machine. I was like, if I leave it in the washing machine, it's going to start to fucking stink. So I have to hang it up.
That's fair enough.
7 steering wheels out of 10 and a good time.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool. I'm just gonna go straight into it. 8 steering wheels out of 10.
Kind of cool. Kind of funny, haha. Speaking of funny, haha, I recommended a funny, haha movie in the mood for love. This is a movie from the year 2000. And it's directed by a man, I think. Wong Kar-wai. Oh, he's a big one. He's a big one. Okay, so this is sort of a... Is it Chinese? Yeah, it's Chinese. Yeah. It's set in the 60s, 1962. There's a guy who... Chow Mo-wan is his name. And he moves in with his wife to a Hong Kong apartment. And sadly, she's away quite a bit. And he meets a woman who's in the next apartment to him, whose husband is away a lot, and they sort of hit it off a bit, and they get talking, and they're both quite lonely, and they sort of find each other, and it's all about them kind of interacting and sort of seeing each other over a certain period of time while their spouses are away. Yeah, I think I got all that correct.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. Okay, so yeah, this is a really good movie, I thought. I haven't seen any of this guy's other movies. He did Chungking Express, actually, which I didn't realise until I looked it up the other day while we were watching it. I was like, oh man, maybe I should have watched that one first. I don't know. I'll watch it at some point. That's been on the list for ages. But I didn't really know what I was getting into here. I just know that it's one of those people quite like, and I wanted to... It's one I sort of wanted to go in on at some point. It's been on my list to recommend for a very long time. But yeah, I had a pretty good time with it. What do we all think?
I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a heavy movie. The whole movie, I think, has this very, very like melancholic sort of tone. So it was kind of hard to sit through at some points. It's quite full on. Although nothing like particularly like saddening is happening, just the whole the tone of the movie, every single scene is just quite like slow moving, just feels constantly sad.
Yeah, because they're like lonely people, you feel lonely with them.
Reminds me a lot of Lost in Translation.
how
lonely that movie makes you feel.
It is quite like that, actually. Yeah, that's a great one. But yeah, this one's I felt like sadly relating to it quite a bit. I was like, for fuck's sake. Because that's when, like, when you see a movie that's like got this sort of tone, you're like, quite relate to this. You're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I shouldn't see myself in this quite as much as I do, but yeah.
Like her or something.
Like her, yeah, like that, yeah.
Oh,
what did,
God,
you, what did
yeah.
you think, Dee?
Well, I just went on to Letterboxd to say that I'd even watched it because apparently I only logged Chris's movie. Do you know what? I'll be honest. I don't really remember a lot of it. I got way more distracted when Pongo arrived. So to be honest,
we did get interrupted. Yeah,
I don't really remember a lot of it. I remember it being like really bleak. Like I was actually quite into it. Until Pongo came, and then I cared about nothing but the dog. So, yeah, it reminded me of something else, but I actually can't think off the top of my head what like the like scenario of it all. It seemed quite familiar. I mean, I don't know, maybe something that's done it before or something that I've seen recently that's similar. I don't know. It was quite interesting though. Like I like the what it was going for, even though I didn't like what it was going for at the same time. Like I don't know, like you watch a film like that and you just
you didn't like what it was going for. Like in what way?
It bummed me out, man.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, no. It is one of those, actually.
It was one of those.
Because I watch it and I'm like, I'm in this picture and I don't like it.
Oh yeah.
Sort of thing.
Well, especially if like I don't know, imagine like, yeah, you are relating to it in some way. And then all of a sudden it just ends on a really bleak note and you go, oh man, that was reassuring. That was,
it was just like, great. You like go on like a trip or something, you go on holiday and you like meet someone, you hit it off like immediately.
Yeah. And then you never see them again.
This has an expiry date and you never see them again. It's like, that was like one moment in this one microcosm in a whole fucking expanded universe of things that is my life. And that's just like,
oh, such a fleeting moment, isn't it?
Yeah, you like think back to that years ago and you're like, oh, well, yeah, that happened. That's sort of what this was like. And I could not fucking get over it. I was like, oh, for crying out loud.
It was a lot.
It's quite a lot when you're in this kind of situation. And it like, I got the sense that I had a theory at the beginning that did not turn out to be true, that I thought they were husband and wife, and they had done
like,
this as like a role play.
Yeah, what was that movie we watched?
I don't know.
Is it the one where the husband and the wife, they go to like France or something, and they like pretend that they are together, but they're not together, but they are together.
Certified copy.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. It kind of gave it like, oh, maybe it was something.
Whereas that's the complete opposite. Yeah, they're opposite. Not together, and they pretend they are.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right. But sort of similar, right?
Yeah, I got into my head. I was like, they're married. They are married.
I actually had the idea that like, well, I think it's because you mentioned it, but I was like, oh yeah, maybe what if they're actually just like the twist is going to be that they are actually like together and they're talking about each other. Like, oh, my wife has the same bag because she's his wife.
That's right.
And I was like,
it kept being like, yeah, where do I get that? My wife gave me this bag or something. I'm like, well, how would you know?
I don't think you ever actually see their partners, which I think was actually like quite a good idea because it like shows that they're far more focused on each other than their
It adds the mystery in, doesn't it? Which I did quite enjoy that actually. Although I did kind of like the narrative in my own mind that they were like pretending with each other, like, oh yeah, my husband got me this time. Yeah. I'm like, ooh. Oh, then you're like, oh, okay, this is just depressing. Like when he's like, I'm going to go away now and I'll never see you again.
Yeah, they were like, sort of role-playing with each other at certain points. I think they were like reading lines or something from a script this guy was writing.
Yeah.
And they got like quite into it. There was a part where she's reading his script and he goes, she like starts to cry, but it's like you don't know if it's real or in the script. And he goes, don't cry, it's only rehearsal. This isn't real. It's like, oh, fuck, man.
Oh, yeah,
what does
like,
it all mean?
Where she comes back and she's like, are you having an affair? Do you have a mistress? And I was like, wait a minute, what is going on now? Like, I was like so engrossed in this like fake life that they've like made.
Yeah, it was so cool. So cool when movies can do that to you.
Like it wasn't even real, but if like, I don't know, it felt it.
That comes with like fucking great acting as well. How they're able to like put you into it.
Yeah, they're really
cool. I saw a movie recently called The Innocent. It was a French movie. And there's a lot of like reading lines from a script within the movie, but you like really feel it, and that's sort of what I was getting from this as well. How they like feel like they are together, but like at the same time they're both still quite desperately lonely, and it's not going to come to anything really.
Mm.
So sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite.
But you still hope. You still hope it will go somewhere.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it, when you're kind of like actively rooting for two characters that are already in relationships to kind of like
go on.
Get together. Yeah. it's wrong, isn't it? It's wrong.
Just the classic movie thing. That's kind of what they're in that film Past Lives that we're commenting on.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the classic movie trope where you want these two to get together and you want them to fuck off their spouses because
it all depends on what you focus on. Together.
Yeah, true. I just feel like, that's something that we all collectively want, but we all know is like super wrong and kind of mean.
That's all about framing though.
Mm.
And who you put more emphasis on.
Yeah.
If they had showed them with their spouses beforehand, maybe you'd have been a bit more
true.
Conflicted.
It's a bit biased, isn't it? Exactly. I suppose, yeah. Like I'm already like involved with them. So therefore I'm like, oh, who cares about Miko in the city? Fuck Miko. Like,
there is some really fantastic acting from those two. I think it's a lot of the performances are very subtle.
Yeah.
They don't really, it's not really like, because it's quite a subtle sort of movie, I feel like they don't have to put in loads into their performance. It's just quite small, quite self-contained. And I think that they did such a great job of nailing it.
Yeah, totally. We got Tony Leung. Why have I seen him before?
Shang-Chi?
Yeah, he fucking
really?
Is. Yeah, he's the dad in Shang-Chi. And to be fair, he was the best part of that movie.
Yeah, he was actually really good in that movie.
He's a great fucking actor.
I've not even seen it. I'm not even going to dignify Shang-Chi with a...
No, he's
with
good.
...with a watch of my
like
eyes.
Him. Yeah, I like him a lot. And Maggie Cheung, she was awesome. She got like a lot of dresses going on. Like the costume department's fucking on it, man.
Yeah, what's with
all the dresses that she wore were like
everything was like an acid trip, innit?
Yeah.
It was like fucking mental. It was like flat embroidery and flowers and splashy prints. It was like Jackson Pollock himself just fucked off a dress and went, here you go.
It works so well with like the grain of it and like the film that they're filming on.
It's kind
of
sexy.
It's really sexy. It's like hot and steamy and like these like dark subtle colors and like the reds and the dark deep browns of it like really works very well. And I was watching that and I was like, just coming off of the back of having watched that Ahsoka show, that Star Wars Ahsoka show, I was like, this is cinema. I think of that and I'm like, what the fuck? It looks like, I'm not saying it looks like shit, that show, I'm not saying that, but it is like when you get into a space where you're watching these like more modern things, and especially from
the
big studios where they're trying a bit too hard to make everything look very clean. You go to this and it's like, I like that it's a bit gritty and like you see the imperfections in it.
Yeah,
this is what it's all about. I'm watching a movie.
I love the film's color palette as well. It's very, very red.
Mm-hmm.
I've been like writing a video about color palettes and movies for quite a while, and this was like one of the ones that I kept seeing come up on like other articles and stuff, all about color usage in movies.
Color theory. Yeah, no, it legit does make sense, but I'm not a big fan of red. But it makes sense. I hate the color red.
Well, it goes for like.
I know. I'm one of those people.
With what the movie is going for, kind of like this.
Yeah, that's like the whole point, right? That's why I'm like agreeing with you on the whole color theory thing, because it does make sense. But like, can I say that I enjoyed the color palette? No.
Oh man, I loved it. It was hot. Yeah, I think it looks steamy, sexy, man.
Yeah, it's the only color palette that makes sense, but it doesn't mean I liked looking at it. I liked it in the overall arching movie scenario. But if someone was to go, here's a color palette, I'd be like, that's fucking disgusting. Because I don't fuck with it. But everyone else was fucking with it, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're not showing anything like
nothing
explicit.
That's what I was just thinking.
Sorry.
Really love about the movie is there is nothing like that in it. I don't think you even see him kiss in the movie.
No, I think it's just all up to your sort
it's
of like interpretation.
All about the like sexual tension between these two characters, and I think it's still such a sexy movie, even though nothing actually happens.
They barely
touch.
Yeah.
That's so much better, I think.
Yeah, that tension between the characters, you can cut a knife with it. It's so like prevalent throughout the whole movie.
It's crazy. It is so fucking good. And like the, you know, the acting carries it, the fucking color palette, and it's like the, this like just, it makes you want to be in that world, or sort of like you feel like sort of, because it feels very warm. It feels it's like enclosing around you.
And, that's what you mean, like a big hug.
It sort of it takes you away from that, like right at the end though, when he's in this sort of like abandoned temple, and it's all like more grey, and it feels very cold. And I think the the idea was to have these scenes where they're together to feel very warm, and like you want to be there, and then like tear it away and be like, that it was never going to happen. And now you're in this like cold landscape, and he's just walking through this like abandoned temple. It's like, oh
yeah, imagine devoiding something of a
this era has passed, nothing that belongs to it exists anymore. It's like,
oh my god, the second that fucking card came up, I went, oh, here we fucking go. Like, was anyone else going, oh, here we go,
head in my hands, for fuck's sake.
I just like that, because Robin came so like late in the movie, she was just kind of like, well, what was that all about?
What's this about? I'm like, I don't fucking know how to explain this to you.
I'd be like, I actually didn't even, I don't think I even spoke, because I actually had no idea how to even I can't even do it now. Like, I was like, I don't even know, mate. Like, like it just exists. And it's...
Yeah. You can't.
It's here.
That's the thing about like,
it's an experience,
when you come into a movie like halfway through and you go, what's this about? You mean like, I don't know, like their neighbors and their spouses are away and they're sort of into each other. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
That's basically what we said.
Yeah.
I did like the immediate response of, oh no.
Oh no. Oh dear.
I actually loved that because I was like, yes. That was exactly what I wanted. Like, that's the response that I wanted.
You said you got this like very sad and melancholic feeling at the end. You were like, that was so bleak.
Chris was
weirdly,
the first one to speak.
Well, I didn't feel like it was sad. I actually felt quite good in a type of way. I don't know. Because it was, you know, it is saying like there are these moments and we have them and they pass. And it's quite melancholic to look back on them. But it's nice that they happen. And, you know, in like this sort of, it's such a small thing, but it's like in this sort of cosmic landscape that we find ourselves in. It's just nice to have that and like something to tether us to these moments. If we had none of those, what would it be like? It would be horrible.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense why I'd be walking through like these abandoned old temples and stuff as well.
Things that were,
because like once upon a time that would have been like thriving and like massive and beautiful, and now it's just very cold and empty and bleak,
built by a bunch of people who are long dead. They also had these moments,
but they
now
also,
they're gone,
yeah,
and all those moments are gone, but it's all just, it keeps going.
Yeah, I guess. Well, but then it survives to bring about new memories for someone else.
Yeah,
because someone else is colder, someone else is warmth, you know.
They say like there's a tree and people trek up a mountain. Yeah, they go to this tree and they whisper into the mountain's hole. No, the tree's hole.
Yeah, pay the
like,
toll.
Carve a hole.
The tree's
they pay
hole.
The toll and they carve a hole into the tree and they whisper like a secret that they don't want people to know, or like they want to forget or something, and then they cover it up with mud. And he was doing that with the temple at the end. He was like whispering a secret into the temple, and he covered it up with mud at the end. And
that
was a nice circle, I think. It really tied the movie all together.
I do like those kind of like, you know, like things that people like do. Yeah, like when they're like, you know, whispering to trees, or like, you know, they have like stories about like
humanity.
Yeah, like, I don't know, just like things like that. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Is what makes us human. These moments.
I was going to say, well, I thought you were going to say humanity. What makes us human? I was like, well.
You can talk about that if you want.
Funny, you should say. Oh, God, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Too much to go into on a...
It is maybe a fair bit to go into.
I was going to say, on a whatever long...
But it gets you thinking.
...hard run. Yeah.
Get you thinking.
Get thinking, people.
Get thinking, people.
Use your brain holes.
Use your fucking brain holes.
Yeah, go talk to a tree.
Whisper into the brain holes and then cover it up with mud, right? Then you'll know.
And then you'll know.
And you'll know.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you'll know. Like only then will you know.
Only then. only then. Yeah. Mm. A lot of great shots with like a... That's something that doesn't happen enough these days either, just like characters smoking and like when you get like a nice film grain going with it and like
you can people see
smoking.
The like, specks of
oh my
shit.
Fucking god, it looks so nice. There's like a shot with like the lights and this guy's in his office and he's just like there's a fuck ton of smoke. He's smoking a cigarette and oh my god, it looks wonderful. That's you don't get that nowadays, I don't think.
No,
not nearly as much as you used to.
No, it'd be like in like double HD where it was just
smoking
like,
is bad. It's like yeah I get it, but also it looks fucking lovely.
Yeah,
they don't want to make people think it looks cool and then start smoking,
but it does look cool.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't mean I want to start smoking.
No, I'm not gonna start.
I have a fucking brain cell somewhere.
It only
there.
Looks cool in movies.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And I think it depends on the person doing it as well.
Oh yeah, like that's the thing though, you can make it look proper stupid on the right person.
Mm-hmm. Not here though. Here it looks fucking hot.
Yeah.
Looks bloody lovely. And all they're like just like the set designs are like quite closed, quite enclosed. And it gives that edge to the intimacy where they're all like quite close together in these like tight hallways, tight rooms, small rooms, restaurants they go to. The fucking restaurant they went to with like the cutlery and the mugs and stuff. That looked amazing. Like all the like green mugs. Oh my god.
Yeah.
So like, nice.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, there's something about like green and orange mugs from like that sort of era. Like my mum had some from like my nan. Well, not to that degree because, you know, we're not Asian, but like it's just that, no, the cutlery, just like the colours were like so reminiscent of like that sort of like time. And I'm like, love a little bit green and orange. Even like though there wasn't any orange, but still.
No, it is like that, yeah. Mm. Sort of like a Kung Fu Panda type thing with like the greens in that movie like pop out with like all the ornaments and stuff. But yeah, this is like, it is very Asian inspired. I mean, it is Asian.
I was
going to
say it's Cantonese, I'd hope.
Yeah, so it's...
I hope so.
It's not just a movie that's like, it could be done anywhere. It like needs to be here.
Yeah, I think it felt very, like location-based, no? Is that, like, if that's what we're going to go with? Like, yeah, you could, I don't think you could do this in London. It would look like shit, wouldn't it?
You can't do an American remake of In the Mood for Love.
Oh, God.
It would not scan.
No. So I feel like some evil bastard will do it, but not in my lifetime, hopefully.
Hopefully not. Let's get to rating this bad boy.
What do you want to rate it out?
I think massive noodle canisters.
There was a lot of noodles in this fucking movie, by the way. Like that's not even me trying to be a stereotype.
I saw their big noodle canister. He's like, they're in the room together and he's got this massive fucking canister. And that was a steamy moment as well, where it was just like, here's some noodles.
You want some soup?
Yeah, do you want some soup? While they're like hiding in a room.
Yeah.
Gets out this massive fucking canister of noodles, starts pouring into a bowl.
Dude, how efficient.
Oh, God,
you
I want
must
one
be.
Of those.
Yeah, I was like, I want some noodles now, but I thought, oh, and then Chris brings out the Aldi fucking special noodles.
Yeah, the pop noodles.
Not anywhere near as cool.
Nah.
Like, they weren't anywhere near as good. And I couldn't even taste the ones on the TV.
Well, my one was pretty good.
Oh, mine was shit.
No, I need a fucking big noodle canister.
I think I might get one.
Yeah.
Yeah. A big
treat myself
noodle,
for Christmas.
Like a flask. It's basically just a flask, to be fair.
Yeah.
But
it's a huge
hench,
one.
Yeah, hencho. Yeah.
For hench noodles. All right, cool. Massive noodle canisters. Let's go.
We should raise it out of hench noodles instead.
Well, you do what you want.
Okay.
I really love this movie. I do want to check out more of the guy's stuff, the director.
Yeah.
Heard he's one of the greats. So
the greats.
Mm-hmm. I can kind of understand that just from this movie. Give it 9 massive noodle canisters out of 10.
Fuck yeah, I love it. Do we have a Criterion here?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get that at some point when I'm not dirt poor for all the Christmas shopping I'm doing. I loved it so much. I'd love to see it again. And it makes you feel. You're in it, man. It feels a bit too familiar for my liking, but I quite like that. 9 massive noodle canisters out of 10.
You haven't tried to remember. Massive noodle canisters. Now you just made me really want noodles.
Yeah, should we go get some noodles after this?
I really want some fucking noodles. 8 noodles. Massive noodle canisters out of 10, please. Sorry, I just really want noodles now. I can't even word. I just really want noodles.
Speaking of words.
Chris, can we get some noodles?
Nah, I'm poor.
too poor for noodles.
Yeah,
I was just like literally like student food, right? That's literally the fucking observation I was making.
Yeah, no, you got to buy them in bulk, like that.
That
Asian couple who was in front of me at the Tesco. Buying just a shit ton of noodles.
That's literally when I was at uni. Massive, that was like, yeah, all you'd ever
just like
do,
mini
yeah.
packs of noodles, but there were like 20 of them.
That's
I was like,
amazing.
Jesus,
yeah, that is imperative.
And like a liter bottle of soy sauce. I was like, these guys are in for a great night.
I never even have my soy sauce. I'm a boring fuck. I have my chicken flavored sadness, and I'm on my way.
Need to employ more soy.
True. I like soy milk.
This is a public service announcement to employ more soy. Speaking
soy
of employing
boys?
The soy in.
I'm going to talk about Chicken Run.
Yes.
Yes. The cult classic Chicken Run from 2000.
Is it a cult classic? Or is it just a classic?
It's
just a classic.
I don't think it has a cult.
There's nothing cult about it. Everyone loves Chicken
Run. Right, can we just agree that it is a classic in some right, whether it's cult or
no
not?
No one's disputing that.
The infamous Chicken Run. I need to stop doing this. With the new one that's coming out next month, and I wanted a comfort movie to watch. I picked Chicken Run. No hesitation. I told Robin, and she was like, yes, yeah, Chicken Run. And I was like, see, that's the reaction I want. I want to pick a movie that gets everyone going, yeah, Chicken Run.
Got Robin's dog going. I've got a good video of him just sort of looking at the chickens in Chicken Run.
Oh, he was not impressed. He didn't like that dog at all. See, the thing is, on Letterboxd, there's like a really long synopsis, but basically,
it's the great
everyone knows it's the Great Escape with Chickens.
Yeah.
And Ginger is Steve McQueen.
It's cracking.
Yeah, it's cracking!
Yeah, you like that?
I hope the landlords don't come downstairs and be like, well, have Phoebe had someone get murdered? It's just me. Getting killed by the great puns of...
Egg puns.
It was excellent. Yeah.
You know, Aardman animation so rarely miss.
So true.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, the second I was like, I don't know,
what do you
man.
Mean?
Are you sure?
Aardman animation used to very rarely miss.
Aardman animation used to so very rarely miss. I'll say that much
that's
for
that's
it.
A bit of a tongue twister on that one. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, well... I mean, my favourite part of Chicken Run is just the flip-flop-fly thing, and I get that stuck in my head like all the time.
Flip-flop-fly, you say?
Yeah, that song slaps. I don't know if it's
this?
A real song or not. Hold on, I might have to look it up.
It's the song that they play from a radio.
Oh, okay.
The one where they're like, yeah, when they have that party.
Yes, of course.
I'm going to see if it's real.
Well, yeah, obviously it's real.
Yeah, but...
It's not real. It's fake.
It's a song
it's an ARG.
Someone. Sorry, that didn't help. Someone called Ellis Hall. Whoever you are, Ellis Hall, I think of your songs every day. Flip-flop fly.
It's a pretty crazy movie.
Yeah, song slaps.
They go hard with this. They go in.
They go, oh,
right out of the gate, Edwina is murdered in cold blood.
Yeah, what the right, did no one else get scared by that scene as a kid? Because I remember watching it and going, holy
oh my God,
shit,
they just fucking killed Edwina.
Yeah, they just killed her. For no reason, other than the fact
no,
that
no,
she's
no.
like...
No, it was definitely a reason, but...
But, yeah, but they didn't have to kill her.
You didn't have to do that to my girl.
I know. I also like Babs.
But it sets the stakes.
True.
You know
you
why
know,
they
yeah.
need to get the fuck out of there.
Because they're repressed, and they're...
They're living a lie. They're living in chicken 1984.
They are! They're living a poor chicken entrapment, and I'm not a big fan. Of
capitalism,
goddamn chicken farms.
Laying eggs all your life. You and then you get plucked, you get stuffed, you get roasted. Is that good enough for you? Is it?
It's a living. Yeah.
Capitalism. We're all under the fucking machine, baby. And
again,
they went so hard with it. They were like, "What if we just made it about the machine?"
Yeah, I like that. And they literally. Get a machine at one point.
Yeah, and they get a machine.
Brand.
And they're like, do you get it now? Do you understand that we're all living under the machine? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Chicken Run, you didn't have to go this hard, but you did, and I respect it so much. Fucking brilliant movie. Mel Gibson is here. He comes in. He's like, hello, I'm Mel. It's another classic Mel movie.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of these recently.
because he's in so many classic Mel movies.
As a joke, I wrote in Criterion Chicken Run, and then someone's tweet came up that said, type in Chicken Run into the Criterion Collection search bar every night like I do. And I was like, yeah.
One day. One of these days.
They've got a request bit on their website. Just put it in every day until they eventually do it.
I really hope. Yeah. Well, I say that. What if it's a classic? Why couldn't it be, right? Or is that not how it works?
Put your mind to it. It can be a reality.
Could you imagine, like, I die and everyone, like, comes to my funeral and they're like, the greatest achievement ever made was getting Chicken Run Criterion.
Darcy would want us to watch Chicken Run on the Criterion 4K in all its glory at her funeral. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Roll clip.
100% roll clip. I'm actually talking from the grave. Oh, man.
Good.
Oh.
Good stuff. Oh. You know, they're all trying to fly. Chickens can't fly. So they've got to run. Yeah. They've got a chicken run. And Mel comes in. He's like, what if I told you you could fly? And they're like, that would be great.
You crazy man, tell me.
Of course. And I never, like, why don't they, like, question him, like, whatsoever? They're like, this one chicken said that he saw him fly, but, like, also kind of not, because he fell to the fucking ground.
Excel, kind of stupid.
No,
they were just so hopeful
that
they ignored the red flags.
I think even Ginger's kind of like that. She's obviously the smart one, but she's so hopeful. She's so
she just kind of
so
let it
much
be.
Like, this has to work, that she just kind of ignores.
This is all we've got. Mm.
And for a while it was. And then he leaves and sees a big poster of Mrs. Tweedy and the pies, and he's like, I gotta go back. Gotta go save my friends.
It's Mel time, baby. Gotta do what Mel does best.
I find it hard to believe that's Mel Gibson. But...
realise the error of his ways and go back and save the day.
As a chicken.
As Mel. As Mel the chicken.
Mel Rhodes.
It's a lot of, like, really fun, like, set pieces and things going on here. Like, when I think about this movie, I always think about that chicken pie scene, which is, I think, the best bit in the movie, where they get into
that bit is
stuck
terrifying,
in the machine and they're trying to escape. That bit's just so, so crazy, so creative, so fun. Like, you can tell so much, like, imagination's been put into just every part of what could possibly be made, like, in terms of mechanisms and how this pie is being made.
I like
how
they'll
traverse it and survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
it's
how is
genius.
That possible? Yeah.
It is legitimately genius.
Yeah.
Like,
and
how
it's
do
all
you
fucking,
get out
you know,
of
stop motion.
Pie?
How many fucking hours you have to put into a movie like this?
Look,
and it's
like
only 1 hour
long.
And 20 minutes, but that's perfect. Perfect length.
Well, they say it takes, like, 3 days to do, like, 3 minutes of animation.
Yeah,
so.
It's as short as it is because of how long it takes.
Which
but
I,
that's
all
it needs to be.
It makes me appreciate it more, though, when I do sit and think, Jesus, like, that took so long to do.
And that's the problem with modern movies. Mm. They all think it's about more. It's not about more. It's about less. It's about doing more with less.
Yeah.
1 hour and 20 minutes this took. And it still makes you feel more emotion, hardcore fucking nose to the grindstone emotion than any fucking Marvel movie or Disney cunt project that's going around here. Like, it's so solid. And that's why it's a classic, because they know exactly what these people are.
They don't fuck around.
They do not fuck around.
Well,
they
can't
are
really,
masters
can they,
of the. No, they cannot.
Yeah, like,
if they fuck up, they're done.
Yeah,
Chicken Run never exists.
Exactly. Why do you think it's taken 23 years to make a sequel?
And these mad bastards are making a sequel.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Comes out in a month's time.
I'm not going to watch it.
Doesn't come out in a month's time. Comes out in, like, a week or two.
What?
Comes out at the end of the month. I swear.
That's not a week or two.
I thought it was, like,
that's
December.
That's, like, 3 weeks.
I could be wrong, but I swear it comes out, like, very soon.
Mate, either way, I'm going to watch it just to satisfy my brain.
I won't, because Mel's not in it.
Mm. Yeah, I'm looking at... do you know what? I did this last time.
I don't think any of the original cast
I don't know who any of these people are, apart from that one lady who's apparently in Solo. Which is great.
Chicken Run 2.
Ramesh is in this.
Yeah, Ramesh is in it, yeah.
Ramesh. And who else is in here? Oh, my God. I love this. Bella Ramsey. That's it. Great. I don't know who anyone else
Dawn
is.
Dawn of the Nugget. Thandie Newton.
Yeah.
Imelda Staunton.
Zachary Levi.
Zachary Levi, yeah. Shazam himself.
Yeah.
You got a fair few people. Daniel Makes and David Bradley, Timothy Spall, Nick Mohammed. These are Peter Serafinowicz.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a really good cast.
Mad
Ginger
cast.
Has a daughter in this movie.
Yeah, that's who Nugget is.
Oh, Dawn of
Yeah, I'm very hesitant because the last couple of Aardman movies I've watched have not been very good.
Yeah, but it looks so good. It looks so good.
But also, I don't know. Like, if there were any movie that didn't need a sequel as well.
Yeah, there's that as well.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. They took the time to make it and it looks good.
I mean, as long as like...
And I might watch it. I might watch it on 2x speed.
As long as like there's an actual reason for it to exist. Like you watch it and you're like, oh, that it didn't need to exist, but like what they've done with it actually makes sense and they did it well.
Oh yeah, like I don't know. I think you'd get to like... I know that these movies take ages to make, by the way, so I'm not criticising the fact that it's taken 23 years to come out, right? But you would think around 23 years, you'd be like, oh, I don't think we should actually release this, or we shouldn't have actually really have made it in the first place. But I don't know how long it takes to make it.
I think maybe like 5 years ago, they were like, what if we did a sequel to Chicken Run?
Because I do wonder whether like by the time they had started it, they were like, should we have really have done this? I just feel like it's a bit too little too late. Mm. But I'm 100% still probably going to watch it, though.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll watch it on 2x speed, but I'll hella watch it, I think.
Yes, wait, you know, the woman, Tweety, her plan is not sustainable whatsoever.
No, it's
She's
not.
She's like, what if I stop getting the eggs and I made loads of money by making these chicken into pies? It's like, that's fine, but also that's not sustainable because all your chickens are female. So what are you going to do when you run out of chickens? Like, that's not, it's not a sustainable business model.
No, not really. No.
No.
But she wasn't thinking about that. She was like, I just want everyone in the vicinity to have Tweety pies in their shop.
I want to make the Mega Moo Moo monies.
Yeah. For now.
For now.
Yeah. And not later.
But maybe like a month.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then
she'll
just buy
that.
New chickens, I assume. Mm. Which makes no sense. I don't know how much chicken is, but.
Tenner.
Shall I look how much?
No, it makes more sense to fucking breed the chickens.
Yeah.
You got an infinite supply of chickens.
Yeah, but she didn't know the rooster was there. That was like the whole point.
No, it was the old man.
Oh, like he was going to be able to hoist her a chicken lady.
Never know.
Yeah.
Wait, what was I going to look up? Oh, how much chicken is? Chicken for sale. But they might come up with like actual chickens.
Tweety's a really good villain as well.
Mm-hmm.
She's like so over the top, like so just evil.
You know what?
It's just great.
It's just so funny. I love that sequence at the end where she like is holding onto the rope of this like plane that they've made. She's
with
like
an axe.
Laughing and cackling with her axe.
It's crazy.
Chris, can we get a chicken?
No.
It's £3 for a rooster.
Oh shit, really?
£3 for a rooster. Are you sure we can't get a chicken?
I'm pretty sure.
But look at him!
Please, for the love of God, do not get a chicken.
Get a chicken!
You live underground. This place would stink.
Yeah.
And yeah, it only takes one party for it all to go wrong.
Yeah.
Oh no, someone's gonna like kill my chicken that I don't even own.
Then we're in for a fucking with nail and eye situation. I just can't have that.
Oh man.
I love that end sequence. With like, she's on the rope. How did fucking Ginger take the... She was, like, grabbing the rope
that
Tweety was on. And, like, she cut the rope open in
with
two.
That knife
and she was, like, still holding onto it. I'm like, you're a chicken. How the fuck do you take the weight of a grown woman?
Like, yeah.
Why are your wings hands?
Yeah, how does any of this work? Up. Yeah, none of it made sense, but I liked
it. Yeah, it's so much fun.
Also, like, the chickens just commit, like... It's manslaughter, really. They don't intend to murder, but Miss Tweety's dead. Like that brick wall.
No, she's not. She survives.
Oh no, yeah, she gets squashed by the wall.
Yeah, but she could have gone up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And we'll find actually, out in Chicken Run 3.
She survived an explosion in the heart of an explosion.
Am I going to have to... I'm going to have to Google this again, and I...
She must have seen exactly what Oppenheimer saw when the nuclear bomb was detonated.
Oh, my God. The first thing that comes up is, did Mrs. Tweedy die in Chicken Run?
I have to assume, perhaps.
No.
No.
Apparently, she's in the second movie.
Hmm. Well, there you go. That's what I said.
Yeah.
It's a little bit suspicious has been going on in the Chicken Run universe.
Yeah, what does she do? Like, sell her soul to some chicken devil?
It was just as the door was falling on her, she dug a hole in
and
the
she
ground.
Just went into
just like,
the
yeah, just like went into the hole.
Oh my God, she did a Saw 5.
Yeah, she did one
of
those.
She got into the glass cabinet. Oh my God, what a goofy bunch of fucking movies. That's what I imagine, though. She just, she just kind of like straight into a hole.
Just start eating dirt.
Yeah.
I'm digging
just
this
to survive,
hole.
Yeah.
I'm surviving on the dirt now. Yeah.
I appreciate that a lot.
The first thing I think of when I think about this movie is the music.
Yeah.
It's just so good. It's like very much going for that like Great Escape sort of vibe. But
Well, that's kind of how it starts out, doesn't it? I suppose.
Full of whistles and shit. I just love it so much. I think the only reason I think of it, though, is because I was obsessed with the PlayStation game that they made as a kid.
I didn't even know they had a PlayStation
game. It was like a Metal Gear Solid ripoff, but with chickens. It was
really?
So fun.
That's cool.
It was sick.
I love it. It's
obviously
illogical.
The music plays all throughout. I remember all the menus and everything were like really dramatic, like army sort of shit going on.
I love that.
That's awesome. Yeah, really good music, really good score.
Yeah, I'm into that.
It's technically on another level.
Yeah.
Immaculate animation, voice acting, top tier, fucking just great stuff. Love it so much.
An enjoyable movie all around.
Just a work of art. It is. Shall we rate Chicken Run then?
Yeah. Can we rate it out of Babs, please?
Sure. Thanks, Babs.
Yeah.
Babs is the best.
I like this movie a lot. It's not my favourite of the Aardman movies. I think I might prefer Curse of the Were-Rabbit in terms of full-length movies.
No, that film slaps.
I still enjoy this. No,
that is great.
Yeah. Never mad if someone goes, let's watch Chicken Run. It's a fun movie. Good vibes.
Mm.
I'll give it 8 Babs out of 10.
It's fucking sick. Yeah. So goddamn good. One of the classics, obviously, as we've been saying. And I'm never loath to watch it. It's very quick. It's in and out. Does exactly what it needs to do. Packs a punch. Great movie for everyone and for all. I'll give it 9 Babs out of 10.
Yes. Go, Babs. You are the best. 9 Babs out of 10.
Sick as chicks. Chicken run. Cool. We got another one to do for the next episode. The Son of a Boo Marathon for episode 137, I suppose. Oh, fuck me.
Oh, no. Has the pennies dropped
now? Oh, shit.
I think Max has done what we've done. Okay.
Okay, so the next one's going to be like the Christmas one, isn't
it? Yes.
For fuck's sake.
Oh, here we go. All right.
Well, you know what? You guys just do your ones first.
It's okay. The preparations haven't actually all been here because about 2 hours ago, Chris got out his phone and said, oh, shit, it's the Christmas one.
That was mostly for you. I already
picked. Oh, for me, who has already decided what piece of shit I'm going to... I'm not.
Okay.
Well, okay. Have you got one, Chris, then?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you go then, and I'll disappoint everyone.
Okay, so my movie isn't a complete Christmas movie.
There's
like a really long sequence that's set at Christmas, but the whole movie feels very festive.
Is it fucking Die Hard?
No, it's not Die Hard. That is a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But when I think of Christmas movies, this is actually one that comes up just because it has that vibe. My pick is the 2019 movie Little Women by Greta Gerwig.
Fuck you.
I've been wanting to get Darcy to watch it for ages.
Yeah, do you know why? Because I don't want to fucking watch it.
Well,
that's why.
You're going to like it because it's a great movie.
Well, I'm not going to like it.
So much.
Yeah, we'll say.
Oh.
My pick is the 1994 movie Little Women.
That's my movie.
What are you picking?
I'm obviously picking Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas, the best movie ever made.
Holy shit. Nice, yeah, cool, okay. Yeah.
Haven't even done the first movie on the podcast yet.
Who gives a fuck?
No, it's not even basically not even canon, so don't even worry about it.
It's like
it.
A midquel, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's set in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, something like that.
It's like so set it all matter. Around one scene in the first movie. Yeah, it just expanded much. It to 70 minutes.
Which Jesus. They just didn't need yeah. to do, but we're going for it, man.
No, that's awesome. Okay, can't wait for that. You know, I'm looking at these movies here, and
God, it's fine. Like, it's going to be torturous either way. So just do what you want.
What the fuck is Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas?
Sorry, what?
Jim Henson.
Nah, that looks fucking terrifying.
Oh no, we can't do that.
I would like to request no.
Okay, you know the only thing. And I'm so sorry about this, but the only one.
Don't worry, they're all
I'm
terrible
scrolling
so
through
far,
this
okay.
fucking Rotten Tomatoes 100 best Christmas movies of all time list, and the only one that made me giggle a bit was. I know you told me not to do this, but I'm gonna pick Elf.
Right, Chris.
I was gonna pick it last year.
Chris
I copped
hates
out.
This movie.
I am gonna pick Elf, the movie
oh
that
my
everyone
God.
Loves.
This is going to be
Ferrell,
like...
He's there. He's an elf. Let's do this shit.
Oh, this is going to be the worst marathon ever. This is actually going to be fucking awful.
Okay, cool. Little Women, Elf, Beauty and
Little
the Beast,
women
the
just
Christmas
does
one. Fucking sick, man. This is going to be the best episode ever. Cool.
I have to psych myself up for this one.
All right.
I only have one request. When we're watching Elf, can we have the volume slightly lower than normal? Because I cannot stand the screams. Just a bit lower, just a teeny bit, because you've got that nice little sound system and I can't stand
we watch it how we
them
watch
screams.
It. Okay.
No. No, <we're not. laughs>
watch all of those for the next episode of the Sunday Movie Marathon 137.
No,
that's gonna be a cracker.
We're not
be a
watching
Christmas
them.
Cracker.
No, we're not watching them.
Follow our social media, YouTube, the Sunday Movie Marathon, Instagram at Sunday Movie Pod, and all the rest. Go have yourselves a very Merry Christmas, set up your tree, and we will see you on the next episode. Any last words?
Wish I picked Bad Santa now.
I wish
see you on the next
anything.
One.
Yeet. Bye.